Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is your brother Mikhail Ahmed Smith here from Qalam. If you enjoy listening to our podcast, please donate to Qalam by visiting supportqalam.com. We love being able to share this content for free, and your donation ensures that we will always be able to do so. Each podcast we produce has thousands of listeners, so the support you give to this community in this effort brings immense reward. You never know who will benefit from your donation. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects all of us, increases us in knowledge and closeness to Him. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this class. This is our third session of the two migrations. This is our latest series, podcast series and halaqa series, going through an amazing book written by Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala. And so we've been going through this book for the last three sessions, alhamdulillah, and this is our third one actually. And so we're going to continue going through this book. This is a book written by Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala. And the name of the book is Tariq al-Hijratain. The method or the way of the two migrations. And what we learned in our first two classes is that by the two migrations, he's specifically referring to the migration to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with love of Allah and dependence upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all of the attributes, fear and hope and all of those attributes that should be directed to Allah, how to get those in our lives. And then the other hijrah, the other migration, so to speak, is the migration to following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kind of dropping all of the others that we put before us as people to follow and making the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the only one that we follow and go after and follow in his footsteps. So these are the two migrations that Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala is referring to in this work. And he begins this text, and this was last week, he begins this text, mashallah, talking about the key element, the base quality that a believer must have within themselves in order for them to start that journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so here, if you're with me on Facebook, mashallah, or YouTube, or Periscope on Twitter, mashallah, you can see the book on the screen as well. If you're on Instagram, you actually won't be able to see it. You'll just be able to listen. So in our previous sessions, in our previous lessons, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah, he talked about the primary element that every believer must have within themselves. And the Arabic word for that is faqr. The Arabic word is faqr. And faqr, a faqir is a person who's poor, who has nothing, who is completely dependent on others. And so dependency is that quality that Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi sees as the primary element that a person on this journey to Allah must develop within their hearts. And then he spoke about this was last week. I'm just recapping for those, it's their first time with us. And then the other thing he spoke about last week is that there's two types of dependency. There's two types of dependency. And one of is the dependency of like our dependency on air, right? Like if I don't breathe, I'm going to die. And he's like, for you to recognize that is not a high state in spirituality. That's just a biological fact, right? But there's another type of dependency, which he calls the dependency of the righteous, the prophets, and the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is, he calls it a voluntary dependency, where you witness your dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at every single moment. And that's where we kind of left off last week, inshallah. And so I'm going to read from there, inshallah. And so the style, just so you guys know, my style is, you know, I'm going to read the Arabic of this text and then I'm going to break it down, kind of translate, interpret it, explain it, and then we'll keep going. And the reason I do that is I really love for people to see the classical works that our scholars have left for us in our tradition. And so to really like go through a classical text and just read it and see what the author is saying is very, very powerful medicine for our hearts, so to speak. All right, so let's begin. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah was salatu was salam ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wa ala. Bismillah. We left off on this line where he says, wa kana nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yad'u ya muqallibul qulub thabbit qalbi ala dinik. Ya'lamu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam anna qalbahu bi yadir Rahman azza wa jal la yamliku huwa minhu shay'a. So here he's talking about the level of dependency that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam exemplified for us throughout his entire life. And he's showing that through a prayer that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to read regularly. So Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahimahullah, he says, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he, the Prophet, he used to make this dua, ya muqallibul qulub. O you, the turner over of hearts, مقلب القلوب, the one who turns hearts. And it's interesting because the word قلب in Arabic means the heart, but it also comes from a root word which means something that flips over, to flip something over. And some of the scholars, they say that the reason why the قلب is called قلب in Arabic is because it changes so much. You know what I mean? Like, you got your intention set. You know, you sit down, you're like, I'm going to read this book today, right? I'm going to focus in this book. And as soon as like you, like 4 minutes in, you're like, yeah, but what's going on Twitter? Like, what's going on Instagram? Like, the heart is so muqallib. It's all over the place all the time. And so the word qallaba yuqallibu means to flip over or change or move. And so they say that the word qalb got its name because it's always changing so much. You know, I was reading this other book recently that talks about one of the qualities, man, one of the qualities that will be a primary element of anyone who's successful in this generation, right? This next generation, a quality that you'll need to just be successful in any part of life is the ability to focus, the ability to focus. And undoubtedly, we live in a time where, you know, distraction is the norm. To have a distracted mind is a norm. For you to be able to sit there and be focused and concentrate on one task, I mean, that's rare. That's rare. It's not easy to do nowadays. So many distractions. And so I was just reading a book that was kind of talking about the importance of building focus in life and having the qalb be able to concentrate on one thing. And as believers, the prayer is actually partially that practice of learning how to focus. So I think that's an important aspect to understand about how the qalb is supposed to be present in the prayer, and that presence is a form of focus. And so as Muslims, we are literally five times a day practicing the ability to focus our heart on one thing for a given set of, for a set of time. That's an amazing quality if we embody that within ourselves. So this dua, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kana yad'u, he used to make this dua, ya muqallibul qulub, O you, the one who turns hearts, thabbit qalbi ala dinik, make my heart firm on your way of life, your religion, your deen, O Allah. And so this is the dua that the Prophet ﷺ used to make. And before I read more of what Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah says, I think it's important for us to understand Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, he says, Ya'alam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet knew, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anna qalbahu, that his heart was in the hand of Allah subhanahu, of Ar-Rahman. Like, he was in control of it. He was in control of his heart. And he said, la yamliku huwa. He knew that he had no control over his own heart. And huwa minhu shay'a. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself is teaching us this powerful dua that, yo, don't trust yourself. Don't trust yourself. Keep turning back to Allah and asking Allah to make your heart firm on the deen. And so just a reflection for us, man, the society we live in, the time we live in today, like, yo, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, towards the end of times, a person will wake up a believer and go to sleep a disbeliever, and a person will wake up a disbeliever and go to sleep at night a believer. just talking about how quick people will change, how quick people will change. And many of us notice in our own circles, social circles, man, such and such was, you know, hitting the tahajjud off. They were hitting the masjid every day. They were doing this, reading Quran. And next time you hit them up, you're like, yo, what's going on? They're like, yeah, man, you know, I'm kind of done with that Islam stuff right now. Na'udhu billah. You're like, what? Dang, what happened? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Like, subhanallah, may Allah protect us. So the Prophet himself understood that hearts can change quick and that Allah has control. So he himself, the Prophet ﷺ, used to make this dua, Ya muqallibul qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. Oh, you turner of hearts, make my heart firm on this deen. And Ibn Qayyim says that he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knew that Ar-Rahman had control over his heart. See, now we're coming back to that quality of faqr. The quality of faqr. And again, the quality of faqr means complete dependency upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see that the Prophet himself, who is the one teaching us this deen, realizes that he needs, again, dependency, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order for him to be firm on the deen. Subhanallah, that's the like pinnacle of faqr, right? Like he realizes complete dependence. Wa anna Allah azza wa jal, going on to the next line. Wa anna Allah azza wa jal yusrifuhu kama yasha'a. And he knows that indeed Allah will move this heart however he wills. Kayfa wa huwa ya'lam yatlu. Subhanallah, it reminds me, Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, he used to say, that araftu rabbi binaqdil azaimi. Like I recognize my Lord by him always breaking my plans. Like I have a plan, I'm gonna do this. And then Allah's like, no, you're not, you're gonna do this. You're like, I guess I'm gonna do that. Whenever I would make plans, boom, something comes, happens. So he says, araftu rabbi, Ali radiallahu anhu, he's like, araftu rabbi, I recognize my Lord. How so? In what? How did I recognize my Lord? Binaqdil azaimi, by breaking my plans, by breaking my intentions all the time. Kayfa wa huwa yatlu qawluhu azza wa jal. Kayfa wa huwa yatlu qawluhu azza wa jal. Walawla an thabbatnaka laqad kitta tarkanu ilayhim shay'an qalila. The verse of the Quran, it says, and if it wasn't for the fact that we made you firm, you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would have inclined towards them a little bit. Now, let me explain the background of this verse. This verse is revealed in Mecca. And Mecca was a very tough time in that there was a lot of social pressure for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to just stop, conform, stop causing trouble in society. This message you have, it's too revolutionary. You know, it's going to mess up everything. Just stop what you're doing. And people would come really, really like hurt. Like, please, Muhammad, stop. Please, please, please don't do this. This is hurting us. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his heart is soft. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in this verse, telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, walau la an thabbatnaka, if it wasn't for the fact that we made you firm, you would have definitely leaned towards what they wanted a little bit. And so what that tells us is that even though Allah told him that I made you firm, every other day, every so often, the Prophet ﷺ is reading this dua and he's saying, Ya muqallibul qulub thabbit qalbi ala deenik. Brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but there's no verses that tell me that I'm solidified, like I'm good. So this is something really I would like everyone to kind of write this dua down. Oh, turner over of hearts, make my heart firm on your deen. This should be a dua, a supplication that you read once a day, man. Once a day. So this is beautiful. So this paragraph, basically what we're getting from this paragraph is complete dependence and supplication in spite of the fact that the Prophet ﷺ was given assurance that his heart was firm.
Y'all feel me on that? Everyone get what I'm saying on that one, right? Like every day he's still making that dua, despite the fact that he was given assurance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But nonetheless, yo, I still need Allah. I'm still dependent. So I'm still asking. Even though this verse says that I'm good, I'm still asking, ya Allah, make me firm. Because I don't trust myself. It's a beautiful, beautiful paragraph Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah has laid out for us right here. MashaAllah. Let's go to the next paragraph, inshaAllah ta'ala. He says, فضرورته صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى ربه وفاقته إليه بحسب معرفته به. He says, subhanAllah, he says, the Prophet's dependence, the Prophet's darura, his need to his Lord, and his faqa, his impoverishment to Allah, is in accordance to his ma'rifah of Allah, his understanding of Allah. So feel me on this. This is deep. Look, the Quran tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, walaula an thabbatnaka, if it wasn't for the fact that we made you firm, you would have inclined to what they want you to do. Despite the fact that that verse is revealed on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is never deluded and never forgets the complete ghina, the complete independence and power of Allah. Meaning Allah can do whatever he wants. And because he still sees that, he's still asking for something that he was told he's going to get. I know it's deep, but I need y'all to feel me on this. Because he sees, he knows Allah so well. He has that deep knowledge of Allah. That makes him just completely, constantly asking for that thing throughout his entire life. Because he knows Allah. It's according to his knowledge of Allah. And his knowledge of Allah is that Allah doesn't have to do anything. Allah doesn't have to do, of course, Allah keeps his promises, right? But he's still seeing that Allah is Allah. He's not dependent on anything. And nothing can force Allah. And so because nothing can force Allah, see, our belief, just so I could clarify this, our belief is that Allah doesn't fulfill promises because he has to fulfill for promises. He fulfills promises because he is Kareem, and Kareem fulfills promises. Kareem means generous. One second, let me plug this in. See, I'm dependent. No, I'm just joking. That was a lame dad joke. But anyways, so do y'all feel me on that? Hear me out on what I'm saying on this point. This is a very important point to see and understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la yukhlifu Allahu wa'ada. Allah doesn't break his promise. Okay, so why is the Prophet still asking for something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he already has? Well, Allah doesn't break his promise, not because he's forced. He doesn't break his promise because he is Kareem. And Kareem means gracious, generous. And so this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is still begging Allah, oh Allah, make my heart firm. Make my heart firm. وَبِحَسْبِ قُرْبِهِ مِنْهُ. And his necessity or his dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, بِحَسْبِ قُرْبِهِ مِنْ, is in accordance to his closeness to Allah. See, this is what we don't realize, brothers and sisters, is the moments where you witness your dependence, those are your closest moments to Allah, and that's golden hour for sure. I'll say that again. The moments where you witness your dependence on Allah, the moments you witness your dependence upon Allah, that's golden hour, and that's your closest moment to Allah. And the moments that you feel most independent, I got this, yo. I got this in the bag. That's the moment you're furthest away from Allah. Why? Think about it deeply. The moment where you say, I got this, that's the moment where you're witnessing your capabilities. You're witnessing your capabilities. And whenever you're witnessing your capabilities, you're not witnessing the power of Allah at that exact moment. At that exact moment, you're not witnessing the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the concept here, brothers and sisters, is that The darura, your need and your dependence on Allah, is in accordance to your closeness. وَمَنْزِلَتُهُ عِنْدَهُ, and his level with Allah. What he's trying to say here is that as you get closer to Allah, you feel even more and more and more and more dependent upon Allah. And that's actually very empowering, brothers and sisters. The closer you get to Allah, the closer manzil, the more dependent you feel upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, thrown into the fire, right? And the angels come, do you need help? Nah, I'm good. I'm good, fam. Why? Because Allah. I'm dependent upon Allah. The higher the level, the more you witness all the time dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the lower level, the more you start to either witness other people's ability or your own ability. And that is what we're trying to conquer. We're trying to raise up in levels so that we are completely witnessing at every single moment. And I brought this up in the last halakha, yo. You know, if you drive a beat up car, man, if you drive a beat up car, man, every time you get in the driver's seat, you like mad close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You be reading all these du'as before you start the car. When the car is legit, when the car is perfectly fine, you know, you from the house, you start it, beep, beep. And if it's not started when you get outside, you're like, what happened? Oh my goodness, I'm gonna go take this to the shop. Check this out. What's going on? It's supposed to work. You know what I mean? So the point I'm trying to make is that witnessing dependence opens your connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
Ain't nothing wrong with a nice car though, you know what I mean? Just always witness Allah's ability. وَهَذَا أَمْرٌ إِنَّمَا لِمَنْ بَعْدَهُ مِنْهُ وَهَذَا أَمْرٌ إِنَّمَا لِمَنْ بَعْدَ مِنْهُ مَا يُرَشَّحُ مِنْ ظَاهِرِ الْوِيَعَ.
He says that this is not the case of the one who is furthest away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I brought up before, as a person gets closer, then they witness more. And as a person gets further, they witness less.
وَلِهَذَا كَانَ أَقْرَبَ الْخَلْقِ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَسِيلَةً وَعَذَمُهَا عِنْدَهُ جَاهًا وَأَرْفَعُهُمْ عِنْدَهُ مَنْزِلَةً لِتَكْمِيلِهِ مَقَامِ الْعُبُودِيَةِ وَالْفَقْرِ إِلَى رَبِّ عَزْوَ.
He just literally says exactly what we just said. He says, وَلِهَذَا, and this, what I just mentioned, is why the closest of the creation with a connection to Allah, the greatest of them in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the one that has the highest level is the one who has realized this level of ubudiyya, dependence or servitude, and dependence, al-faqr ila Rabbi Azza wa Jal. So again, he just summarized, he just basically said, as you get higher, as you get closer, as you get more beloved to Allah, you increase in ubudiyya, servitude, and faqr. Okay, let's keep going.
Wa kana yaqulu lahum, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to say to the Sahaba, Ya ayyuhan nas, ma ahabba an tarfa'uni fawqa manzilati.
I do not wish that you raise me, elevate me above my level.
Innama ana abd.
I'm nothing but a slave. You know, at this point, in this book, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, he makes a beautiful turn. And he switches from the focus on faqr to the quality of abdiyya. Let me explain that word. Abdiyya in Arabic means slavehood, my servitude, that I am a abd. The word in Arabic for a slave is an abd, abdullah, slave of Allah. And sometimes we say servant of Allah, because it sounds more politically correct, of course. But the word abd means slave, right? I'm a slave of Allah. I'm a slave. And Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi makes this switch, guys. And he starts focusing on what does it mean to be a true slave of Allah?
And I want everyone to realize that there's a deep connection between the quality of faqr and the quality of abd, the quality of dependence and the quality of servitude or being a slave of Allah. And the essence of that true like slavehood to Allah is witnessing complete and utter dependence upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the connection. And so he's now switching gears a bit and talking about this quality of abdiya, being a slave. So we find that the Prophet used to say this a lot. Innama ana abd. I'm just a slave, man. Just a slave. Wa kana yaqul. Then the Prophet he used to say, La tatruni, tatruni. كما أطرت النصارى المسيح ابن مريم إنما أنا عبد فقولوا عبد الله ورسوله. The Prophet ﷺ said, don't elevate me the way the Christians elevated the Messiah, the son of Mary. إنما أنا عبد. I am only a slave. So when you speak about me, say عبد الله ورسوله, the slave of God and his messenger. Don't raise me up. I'm a slave. I'm a slave. And if I'm a slave, I can never be a god. I can never be a god. I'm a slave. That's it. Subhanallah. وَذَكَرَهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ بِسِمَةِ الْعُبُودِيَّةِ فِي أَشَرِ الْمَقَامَاتِهِ مَقَامَ الْإِسْرَى. I think this is the typo. I think it's supposed to say أَشْرَفِ الْمَقَامَاتِ. مَقَامَ الْإِسْرَى وَمَقَامَ الدَّعْوَةِ وَمَقَامَ التَّحَدِّي. He says that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as slave in some of the most noble instances. And those situations are when he took him for the Isra and Mi'raj, the night journey to the seven heavens that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken. When Allah talks about that in the Quran, what does he say? Subhana alladhi asra bi abdihi. Glory be to the one who lifted up his slave at night. What he's trying to say is, he didn't say, the Quran didn't say, Subhana alladhi asra bi Muhammad. Glory be to the one who lifted up Muhammad. Because here's the deal. Because the highest level that we can reach is our most dependent moment of Allah. And that most dependency is when you witness slavehood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope y'all feel me, man. This work is deep, man. This work is deep. And the way that, Islam is beautiful, man. Sorry, man, for that moment, but Islam is beautiful. وَأَنَّهُ لَمَّا قَامَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. In another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَنَّهُ لَمَّا قَامَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ يَدْعُوهُ. Allah says, and he, لَمَّا قَامَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ, when Abdullah stood up calling. Now this is in Surah Jinn. It's speaking about the Prophet ﷺ making dua. And it says, لَمَّا قَامَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. Allah says, when Abdullah stood up making dua. Who's Abdullah? The Prophet ﷺ. That's the Prophet ﷺ. But he's trying to praise him. He's praising him. He's like, look, قَامَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. Abdullah stood up. But the word isn't walamma qama Muhammad yad'u. The word he uses is lamma qama Abdullah. Again, the highest moment is the lowest moment in reality. The highest moment is the lowest moment in reality. Waqala, and the Prophet and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wa in kuntum fi raybin mimma nazzalna ala abdina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you are in doubt regarding that which we revealed on who? Abdina, our servant. Abdina, our servant. What is he trying to explain to us? He's just trying to explain that when Allah wanted to mention the Prophet in the Quran and give him a position of honor, he used the word abd. That's it. That's what he's trying to bring home to us. And then there's a hadith. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, he mentions, وَفِي حَدِيثِ الشَّفَاعَةِ إِنَّ مَسِيحُ يَقُولُ لَهُمْ اِذْهَبُوا إِلَى مُحَمَّدٍ عَبْدٍ غفر الله له ما تقدم من ذنبي وما تأخر. There is a hadith the Prophet ﷺ, he said, on the day of judgment, when all of the creation are standing, every single person from Adam to the last man is standing before Allah, and the judgment hasn't begun, and people are waiting for the judgment to begin. People are waiting and waiting and waiting. And have you ever been waiting for results of an exam? Have you ever been waiting for results of a case that you're in? The waiting can kill you sometimes. Just tell me I'm guilty. Just tell me I failed, but don't make me wait. SubhanAllah, man, I remember one time back in the day, my mother went to a PTA meeting, you know, parent-teacher conference, whatever. Man, I swear that 2 hours she was there was the longest in my life, man. Longest, man. Just that waiting. SubhanAllah. May Allah bless all of our mothers, inshallah. May Allah bless all of our mothers, inshallah. Okay, so the Prophet ﷺ, he said, everyone is waiting on Yawm al-Qiyamah, waiting, waiting, waiting. So the people begin to go to each prophet that, oh, ask, please ask Allah to begin the judgment. Ask Allah to begin this judgment, please. And they'll go to Adam. He says, I'm not the one for it. They'll go to Ibrahim. He'll say, I'm not the one for it. They'll go to each prophet. I'm not the one. I'm not the one. I'm not the one. They'll go to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Jesus. And Jesus will say, and that's what we have here, idhabu ila Muhammad. Go to Muhammad. Abdin, a slave. Ghafarallahu lahu, who Allah has forgiven all of his sins. Subhanallah. فَنَالَ ذَٰلِكَ الْمَقَامِ بِكَمَالِ عُبُودِيَتِهِ وَبِكَمَالِ مَغْفِرَةِ اللَّهِ لَهُ. He reached that level of intercession because he completely realized his state of slavehood and servitude before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. Wa ta'ammal, he says, and contemplate, think. Qawluhu fil ayah. Think over the words of Allah in the verse that we read last week. Antum al-fuqara'u ila Allah. Contemplate the verse, you are all in need. Faqir ilallah. Antumul fuqara'u ilallah. Take that downstairs. Antumul fuqara'u ilallah. You are all dependents, faqir, poor, in need to Allah. He says that fa'allaqa al-faqr ilayhi bi-ismillah duna ismu rububiyyah. لِيُؤْذَنْ بِنَوْعَيْ الْفَقْرِ فَإِنَّهُ كَمَا تَقَدَّمَ نَوْعَانْ. I'm going to translate this for you guys. فَقْرٌ إِلَى رُبُوبِيَتِهِ وَهُوَ فَقْرُ الْمَخْلُوقَاتِ بِأَسْرِهَا وَفَقْرٌ إِلَى الْإِلَهِيَتِهِ وَهُوَ فَقْرُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَرُسُولِ وَالْعِبَادِ الصَّالِحِينَ. He says, notice this verse. In the verse, Ya ayyuhannas antumul fuqara, you are all faqir to Allah. He says, notice that Allah said to Allah. He didn't say ila rabbik. He says, why? Why did Allah use the word Allah and not any other quality of divinity, name of divinity? He says that the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word Allah, not the word Rabb, is so that you realize and know that there's two types of faqr. One type of faqr, as we said before, is the type of faqr that every single person, just because you're a human being, you breathe air, you need food, that is faqr ila Rabb, to the Lord. And this is faqr al-makhluqat. This is just the faqr of everyone, the need that everyone has. Oh, we need air, we need food, we need water, we need things like that. So the Rabb is the one that gives those things. But you can recognize Allah, you can recognize a sustainer, you can recognize a Rabb and not recognize Ilah, because Ilah indicates this divine divinity, this essence that is worthy of worship, So look at it this way, brothers and sisters. Like you can look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the perspective of Rabb that sustains me, takes care of me, nourishes me. And you can also look at Allah from the perspective of ibadah and worship, uluhiya, a God that you worship, right? And so what he's explaining here is Allah didn't say, antumul fuqara ila rabbik. You are faqir. You are faqir to your Rabb. He said, no. Allah said, antumul fuqara ila Allah, because Allah indicates uluhiya, Arabic word, which means divinity, which now speaks of worship. And now we're talking about the voluntary type of faqir. He's saying that is evident in the verse with the word Allah. I know that was a little deep, but alhamdulillah. وَهَذَا هُوَ الْفَقْرِ النَّافِعِ. He says, this is the beneficial type of need. وَالَّذِي يُشِيرُ إِلَيْهِ الْقَوْمِ. This is the one that the al-qawm. The word al-qawm, yo, so the word al-qawm means those people. Al-qawm, that group. So the word qawm in classical literature, Imam Sha'rani, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, Imam Ghazali, whenever they use the word al-qawm, they're talking about the scholars of tazkiyah. They're talking about the people of inner spiritual refinement of the self. So he says, وَالَّذِي يُشِيرُ إِلَيْهِ الْقَوْمِ. This is the type of dependency that the qawm, the group, is referring to. وَيَتَكَلَّمُونَ عَلَيْهِ. This is what they speak about. وَيُشَمِّرُونَ إِلَيْهِ. This is what they roll up their sleeves for, meaning this is what they involve themselves in. وَهُوَ الْفَقْرِ الْخَاصِ لَعَمْ. This is a specific type of dependency, not a general dependency. وَقَدْ اِخْتَلَفَتْ عِبَارَاتِهِمْ عَنْ وَصْفِهِمْ لَهُ وَكُلُّ أَخْبَرَ عَنْهُ بِقَدْرِ ذَوْقِ وَقُدْرَتِ عَلَى تَعْبِيرِ. He says all of the scholars have spoken about this quality of faqr according to their own understandings, according to their own temperaments, and their ability to express themselves. And then he says, and now I'm going to go into the definition and the levels of faqr, dependency, and explain it in detail. So brothers and sisters, the next like 50 to 60 pages of this book, what Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah does is he goes through the different levels of dependency that you can experience in your journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He speaks of the levels of dependency that you can experience in your journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this book is a masterpiece, subhanAllah, what he's covering. Again, for those of you on Instagram, you can see the textbook on YouTube. You can see it. The class we're doing right now, you can go on YouTube and watch from YouTube. You'll probably have a better experience than Instagram because you can actually see the book that I'm reading from. So go on YouTube, go to Qalam's page, and you'll see this live session going on right now. Or you could go to Facebook, or you could go to Twitter, any of those places. Instagram is not going to let you see the book that we're studying. Okay, let's go forward a little bit, inshallah ta'ala. تَعْرِيفُ الْفَقْرِ وَدَرَجَاتِهِ عِنْدَ الْحَرَوِيُّ وَتَفْسِيرُ كَلَامِهِ. The definition of this dependence on Allah, وَدَرَجَات, in the levels of dependency, عند الإمام حراوي, according to Imam Harawi. So what he does is, you know, he takes another scholar's book, and what he does is he's like, I'm gonna take this scholar that I know, I'm gonna read his book, and I'm gonna explain it to you. So the same way I'm sitting here explaining Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi's work, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi's like, I'm explaining somebody else's work. And so subhanAllah, this was the tradition. This is how Islamic knowledge just grew, because everybody was always building off that previous generation. Ibn Qayyim is like, this ain't me. I didn't make this up. I got this from somewhere. I got this from Imam al-Harawi. And so, but I'm going to explain in more detail what he said very concisely, because the people's temperaments are always changing. And so what happens many times is when you read a classical text, that person lived in a different time, a different era, a different circumstance. Social, political, economic was so different. And so what we often need is people to interpret that for us into our context to see how that applies to us. And part of that is understanding the context in which the author of what of any work lived within, right? The context that they existed within. So he says, he says, قال شيخ الإسلام الأنصاري قال شيخ الإسلام الأنصاري الفقر اسم لبراءة من رؤية الملكة. He says, فقر is a word that means a person is free from seeing their ability. Simple as that. Their own ability, their own power, their own ability to do something, they don't see that. They can't see it. They can't see it. And he's going to talk about this in detail. He goes, وَهُوَ عَلَى ثَلَاثَةِ دَرَجَاتٍ. And there are three levels to faqr. So, okay, so let's slow up for a moment. For those of you taking notes, we broke down faqr into two types of faqr, right? Dependency, there's two types. One is voluntary. The other is everyone experiences it. Then within the category of that voluntary dependency, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi explains that there are three levels of this voluntary dependency. Let's look at them first and then go into one of them as much as we can, inshallah. He says, الدرجه الاولى فقر الزهاد وهو نقض اليدين من الدنيا ضبطا او طلبا واسكات اللسان عنها ذما او مدحا وسلامه منها طلبا او تركا وهذا هو الفقر الذي يتكلمون في شرفه. He says, الدرجه الاولى, the very first level, the very first level of faqr, and he's going to go into this. He's just naming them. Faqr zuhad. This is the faqr, the dependency of those who have given up the world. Given up the world. Just, I'm done with this dunya, yo. I'm trying to get back home. I'm lost in this dunya. I'm here, but I'm trying to get home. And where is home? Back to Allah. Back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, huwa nafdhul yadain min ad-dunya. Now, nafdhul yadain is like, you know when you do some work and you dust off your hands, right? You, like, if you're working in the garden, if you're working in the car, if you're working on something, you know, when you're done, you dust off your hands. And after you dust off your hands, you don't touch that thing again. So dusting off, it's funny because let me close my door. Hold on. My bad, y'all. I didn't want my kids to hear me talk about them on publicly. So my son, he's only like four. He'll be four in like 3 days. Qasim, right? So he has this habit, right? While he's eating dinner and his hands get dirty, he'll want to wash his hands. And we're like, bro, you're still eating. You're still eating, man. Why are you trying to wash your hands? He's like, no, they're dirty. They're dirty. I'm like, yo, chill. You're still eating. No, they're dirty. We got, like, bro, stop. So it's still till today. It hasn't stopped yet. Okay. It's still going. All right. So the concept of nafdhul yadain, normally speaking, if you're not like my son, then normally speaking, you clean off your hands when you're done with something. So he says that you reach a level of faqr where the first level, where you literally dust off your hands from the dunya. You're like, I'm done, yo. I'm done. Dunya, I'm done with you. Finish. We're done. First sign of it. You dust off your hands from the dunya. Then the second sign, he goes, وإسكات اللسان عنها ذمًا ومدحًا. He says, and the silence of the tongue, speaking ill or praise of the dunya. Your the second sign of this level is that the tongue becomes silent from blaming it or praising it. Yo, listen to this. This is so deep. You ever had a friend that kept talking about somebody that they hate or don't like? You ever had a friend that's always talking about a girl that he's done with, or a girl that's talking about a guy, I'm done with this person, I hate them, they're horrible. But every time you see them and every time we're on the phone, you're talking about that person. Like, they're horrible. They're horrible. They're horrible. That person is so horrible. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? You maybe have a friend, or maybe that's you. I don't know. But, I can see you guys. Okay. Everyone's saying their cousin's the same as my as Qasim. Do y'all feel me on that? Y'all still with me? Okay. Like someone who says they're done with something, but they're not done. In fact, they always mention that thing in a negative light. What he's trying to say is when a person has completely left the dunya, then they don't sit there and talk about how bad the dunya is anymore. Because it's not even worth mentioning anymore. The fact that you're still mentioning it is indicative of the fact that it's still stuck in your heart. The fact that you're still mentioning it is indicative of the fact that it's still stuck in your heart. Whether it's praise or whether it's them means blaming it. Because some feel like, okay, I'm not praising the dunya no more. Now I've elevated myself to the point where I don't like the dunya anymore. So I'm like, yeah, you know, all the new cars and all of this stuff, man, I'm done with the dunya. It's all deception. You see this dude again, like, yeah, man, the dunya, I'm done with the dunya, man. I'm done with it, man. I'm done. It's horrible. It does nothing for you. You see the person again, you're like, man, this dude's, for someone who's done with it, you're talking about it quite a lot. Are you really done with it, or is it still stuck in your heart? Do y'all feel me on that point? Is everyone with me? Okay, I'm not seeing any comments no more. Instagram is not with me. Okay, so the point here is that he's saying a sign that you've reached this level of faqr, where you've given up the dunya, is that you dust your hands off from it. You don't want it no more. And number two, is the tongue gets quiet, yo. Tongue, I don't got to talk about the dunya. I'm already done with it. Why am I going to talk about it? And then he says, وَسَلَامَ مِنْهُ مِنْهَا طَلَبًا أَوْ تَرْكًا. And the third sign of this level is that you have peace and tranquility. طَلَبًا أَوْ تَرْكًا. When you're going after it and you get it and you don't have it. Whether you have it or don't have it, there's tranquility within you. If the tranquility is lost in the moments of seeking, or the tranquility is lost in the moments of losing, that's a sign that you haven't got done with this yet. This thing is still stuck inside of your heart. And so this is level one of dependency upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right. So brothers and sisters, you know what? That's it for this week. We're going to go to level two next week. I got to keep y'all hungry wanting more. So we'll do level two next week, inshallah ta'ala. We just did like 45 minutes, alhamdulillah. You know, I think that's a good class for us, inshallah. I think we could stop here. This topic is going to be spoken about for the next like 8 sessions straight up, because Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi wraps a lot around this topic of dependency. And the concept that I want everyone to take from today's lesson is value those moments when you witness your dependency upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and realize that those moments where you witness your dependency upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are your closest moments to Him. Focus on this first level of faqr, is when you dust your hands off from the dunya. Yo, I'm done with the dunya, right? I'm done with it. And we'll talk about what it means more. That's what we're going to get into. And also, I don't got to talk about it. I'm done with it. So I'm not going to speak ill of it, and I'm not going to praise it. Either way, it's like it doesn't exist. And then the concept of tranquility. The last thing I want to say is also the first thing that we brought up when we started today's lesson. And the first thing that we brought up when we started today's lesson was that the Prophet ﷺ's dependency was such that he would say, O turner over of hearts, make my heart firm on your deen. If he sallallahu alayhi wasallam was making that dua, we have to ask Allah to make us firm. So let's make a quick dua. Ya muqallibul qulub, thabbit qulubana ala deenik. Ya muqallibul qulub, thabbit qulubana ala deenik. Ya muqallibul qulub, thabbit qulubana ala deenik. O you who turn over hearts, we ask you, all of us, ya Allah, in this gathering, listening to this class, reading this text, we all ask you, ya Allah, make our hearts firm on your deen. Jazakumullahu khair, everyone. Wa ahsana jaza. Assalamu alaikum. I'll see you guys next Wednesday, inshallah ta'ala. Yeah, assalamu alaikum. Someone wants to say salam.
Salam.
Assalamu alaikum.
Salam.
There you go. All right. Okay. Assalamu alaikum, everyone.